This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
In Keeping the Faith this afternoon, we're talking about the situation where you have a friend who's perhaps ill, perhaps dying, perhaps going through some kind of a crisis emotionally or in terms of their job or relationships. What are friends able to do in those kind of crisis situations? We're talking with Fran and Amy Kandrak, a mother-daughter combo here. Amy, let's start with you. Where did this idea come from of starting a group, an organization to deal with this?
This all started in September of 2005 when my sister, Stephanie's best friend since they were 5 years old, was diagnosed with brain cancer. And as any good friend does, we were coordinating emails back and forth to family members and friends, keeping everyone updated and getting information out to friends on Laura's situation. Laura was our friend. And one thing kind of evolved.
Now you knew Laura too.
Oh, of course. Uh-huh. Stephanie and Laura were best friends since they were five. And for 20 years, Laura was, you know, like a little sister to me.
So. And Fran, you as Stephanie's mother and Amy's mother, you were involved in this too. You knew her also.
Very much so. Laura went on family vacations with us and was at our house all the time, so she was very, very dear to us. When we heard that she was sick, actually Laura's mother called Stephanie immediately and told her that they'd found a brain tumor. And our first reaction is just like everybody, oh my gosh, what can we do? So we did the normal stuff of the meals and the helping out like everybody has done from the beginning of time. And we didn't do anything more special than anyone else. That's just what we were doing. But what happened with things that made it very unique and interesting was at Christmas time, Laura was not able to go to church. And she had a very deep faith and loved Christmas music and was very saddened that she couldn't go to church. So her sister called me and said, do you think anybody would be willing to come to our house to sing Christmas carols? I said, well, of course. Sure. She said, well, if you could give me names, I'll coordinate it. I said, no, you tell me when you want us and I'll take care of it from there.
Sure.
So at this point, we had an email distribution of probably about 100 people. I didn't know most of them. They were friends of Laura's family, friends of her sister's, friends of her mom's, friends of hers from college. So I sent out a message and said, we're going to Christmas Carol. We'll meet at this spot at 5 o'clock. We're going to walk to her house. We're going to sing these five songs, and we're going to leave because we can't be intruding.
Sure.
So at the appointed time, there were about 50 people showed up.
Wow.
And I don't think anybody knew all of the people. Huh. It was amazing. We were from all different parts of her life, and it was just really incredible. We all walked, we sang the five carols, we all cried the whole time, and we left, and it just felt so good, and Laura loved it. She and her mom did not know we were coming, but her sisters knew.
And it set it up, sure.
And it was just incredible. So
would students today, young people today, call this a flash group? I mean,
Well, almost. Almost. It was one of those kind of send the email out. Yeah. It was almost like you put it on Facebook. Everybody show up at this time.
Right.
That's what we would have done, but Facebook wasn't as big a couple years ago, or at least not for us.
Which is a good thing because we've been able to create something unique since then. Well, I'm going to continue with the story. A few days later then, Laura's mom called me. We went for a walk, and they had gotten results of how Laura's treatment was going, and it wasn't good.
Uh-huh.
And it was going to be a rough Christmas. And so I thought, you know, her whole family will be together for Christmas, and that will be wonderful, but everybody goes into these doldrums after Christmas.
Sure.
It's just normal. Even if you're healthy, happy, and wonderful, it's just, it happens. So I called Stephanie, and I said, let's do the 12 days of Christmas for Laura. And she says, What do you mean? I said, well, I don't know. It's coming. We'll think about it. Well, again, we used our email network, and through the course of all of these different people being involved, we decided that each day for the 12 days of Christmas, we would leave a special surprise for Laura. And so I made up cards, and on the front of each one of them, it said, sing it. And then on the inside, there was a message that correlated with the particular day that matched the song we all know. So on the first day of Christmas, December 25th, Laura's card said, on the first day of Christmas, Laura's team gave to me sparkling juice from a pear tree. Uh-huh. And there was a bottle of sparkling pear juice. Uh-huh. And the next day, she got two turtles / doves with her chocolates.
So something to look forward to each day, something different.
Yes, and totally silly and off the wall.
Sure.
And something that different members of her team, as we were calling our email group of friends, could bring over. So it wasn't something that, you know, our family in particular had to do every day.
Sure.
A different person that we might not even know but knew Laura from a different walk of her life could bring and become a part of as
and
well.
And yet someone was coordinating this.
Yes.
So we were coordinating it through email of who was claiming each day.
Uh-huh.
And so about the seventh day, I was getting ready to go out of town on a convention for my job, and I was visiting with Laura, and she said, this is just so much fun. We were eating Seven Swans of Swimming cookies that were on this big cake. And she said, I just hate to see this end. And I thought, well, then it won't. And I had no idea what we would do. But
sure.
I called a few friends who were creative, and I said, okay, Laura likes this. She's excited about it. We've got to keep this up.
Huh.
So then
beyond the 12 days of Christmas.
Absolutely. So we sent out an email, and I'm just trying to think of things off the top of my head. And we said, well, let's have lottery ticket day. So we sent out our message and asked everybody on a particular day, mail her a lottery ticket and put on your return address, Laura's team, and your own address.
Huh.
And a few days later, she got a stack of mail that was probably 5 or 6 inches high with lottery tickets from all over the country. She got some from Canada. And, you know, she was scratching for weeks, and she was excited about it.
Was any money won?
Yes. Nothing
well,
exceptional.
I guarantee you, it wasn't as much as the people paid who bought the tickets.
No.
No, but boy, they sure, everybody.
But what fun.
And it was fun for everybody who participated. And what was awesome and we were starting to see was that everybody was able to stay connected to her and feel good about it. And, you know,
without it taking over all of their lives.
That, and also without them feeling like, oh my gosh, you know, I want to call Laura, but I don't know what to say.
Sure.
And as it turned out, we started sending out emails on a regular basis. Like every 2 weeks, I would send out an email with how to celebrate each day, little bits of cheer for Laura. Hmm. So we'd have Cherry Pie Day, and somebody would claim Cherry Pie Day because we really didn't want her to get 15 of them.
Of course not.
And it gave people an opportunity to go visit her and treat her just like a normal person without treating her like a person with cancer.
Yeah.
And from my experience with Laura and with other people, they're still a person. They have a disease, but they're not a different person, and they still want to be treated like the same person.
Right.
Now, when it was National Popcorn Day, we didn't mind that she got it from all over the country, and she probably got 30 or 40 things of popcorn, and that was fun.
Uh-huh.
Some of these holidays, she would be in the hospital, and we would designate whatever it was that we were showering her with that could be for the hospital staff, so it wasn't always for Laura.
Uh-huh.
So this kind of got going, and in the process of all this, so many people were feeling so good about this, and they said, everybody needs a Laura's team. This is just really cool and fun. About the same time, I was taking a class at my church called Life Keys.
What is your church?
I go to Second Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
And the Life Keys class helps you assess your own talents, your God-given talents, your learned skills, your experiences in your life, the things you like, the people who are in your life. And through all of this, you kind of figure out if you are really utilizing yourself to serve God and His world in the best way. And it was just amazing that this came over me through this whole process, that I have everything it takes to coordinate doing this type of a support for lots and lots of people. And I called Amy with my idea, and she immediately connected with it and understood what I was talking about. So
while you were doing all this, you had a full-time job, right?
Yes, and I still have a full-time job, yes.
What do you do? I mean, what's your profession?
I'm an executive assistant at an electronics company in Indianapolis.
Okay, and how long have you done that?
I've done that for 10 years, and prior to that, I taught people how to use their home computers.
Huh.
And then prior to that, for about 20 years, I worked in marketing companies.
Okay. So you were doing all that. You got involved in this because of this particular person that was important to your family. And when were you doing it? When were you sending out these emails?
I would usually create them at night and then put them in my saved folder so that I could send it whenever it was time.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we would want to wait until Laura got through a doctor's appointment and find out what was going on with her.
Yeah.
The beauty of email is that we can get things created and let them save in our outbox, ready to go when we're ready.
Right. Let me just take a minute and encourage listeners who would have a question, who have a comment, who perhaps they have a story, perhaps they've been a part of a similar care team in their own church or synagogue or mosque or temple or whatever, or maybe they've helped people in their extended family this way. Let me give some phone numbers so you can join this conversation. There are three of us in the radio studio here in Urbana, but we're eager to have you join us via the telephone. If you are in Champaign-Urbana, there are several lines you can get by punching in 333-9455. That's 333-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. If you're listening long distance, including on the Internet, maybe you're listening to this program live through your computer, there's a toll-free number you could use anywhere in the continental U.S., 1-800-222-9455. 1-800-222-WILL if it's a long-distance call. We're talking with Fran Kandrak and Amy Kandrak, and Kandrak is spelled K-A-N-D-R-A-C. Am I right on that?
Yes.
Okay. And we're eager to have others join the conversation. And we're talking about an organization that they began that tries to help people who are asking the question, what can I do? What can we do when someone's in trouble, when someone's sick or in a crisis? And there are often all those questions and people don't know what to do. And these folks have set up something that's available on the Internet called whatfriendsdo.com. So if you can't listen to this program anymore but would like to contact them later, you can do that through the Internet, whatfriendsdo.com. And then check for support and you can contact them that way. And I see we already have a caller on line number one. You're on the air, Keeping the Faith. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I have a friend who is in the hospital, and they have a webpage through the hospital. Does your webpage supplement that, or how does that work?
Well, that's a great question. A little bit of information about what our webpage does. It has a blog to kind of keep your friends informed of, excuse me, of what's going on. And then it also has a guest book to let you, as the friend, leave a message for your friend in crisis. And from what we've seen, that's what a lot of hospitals offer right now. Some things that our webpage also offers are a calendar to schedule who's going to bring meals, a calendar that will schedule who's going to run errands or be a chemo buddy or help with packing boxes if your friends are moving. Anything that your friend might need while they're going through their crisis. And so those are some basic functions that our website office offers that a lot of times the hospital webpages aren't offering right now. Our website also really tries to emphasize ways that the friends can help and the friends can get involved rather than the person in crisis, the person going through a problem at the time. So all of these special days that we were talking about, we have a section called What Friends Do for Cheer. And those special days like Popcorn Day and National Cherry Pie Day, where you as the friend trying to, and family of the person going through this crisis can check the website and find a way to go and create something fun for the friends going.
Did you want a follow-up, caller?
Just how do you create a page?
That's an excellent question. You go to www.whatfriendsdo.com, and on there, there is a link to show to create a team page. And you will enter some very basic information about your friend in need, that is their name, a general location, kind of city and state, the type of crisis they're experiencing, so that the whatfriendsdo.com staff can send out special information that might pertain to your crisis. And from there, you have a page created and can put whatever else you need.
And the whole process
email your friends or...
I couldn't quite hear that. Would you say it again?
Sorry, email your friends and family the page then, or...
Yes.
Okay.
The entire process to create a page takes about 45 seconds, and once that's done, you get a URL, and it takes you right to the team page, and there is a portion of that that allows you to send out emails. So we've tried to make it very easy to use, and you don't have to have great computer literacy in order to make it work.
Okay, thank you very much.
Appreciate the call. And we have another caller waiting on line number two. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith.
Hi, this is Diana Dummett from the U of I. And Amy,
how are you?
I heard about this in the paper, and I just want to really encourage you and applaud you for doing this. I think it's a wonderful service, and I don't even have a question, but just want you to know I'm thinking of you, and I think what you're doing is great.
I think we just have had an example of what friends do.
Yes, thank you so much, Diana.
Appreciate the call. So you were talking about how things got started. What was Laura's reaction to this? I mean, she obviously liked the attention, but some people might not. Are there some people you've encountered since Laura's experience where they really said, well, you know, I'm kind of private. I'm not sure I even want my friends to know I'm doing chemotherapy or I'm sick.
That's an excellent point, and I think that's very common for people to have that reaction. Part of what we're trying to do and to help people learn is that we're not all independent people. We're interdependent, and we need people in our lives, and we all need them in different ways. Some people do like lots and lots of attention, and other people don't. But what's the beauty of our site is that it doesn't have to be 200 people involved. We have teams that only have 5 or 6 people involved. And our calendar function is a very unique thing, and it's really wonderful because it allows to keep people coordinated so that even when you have just a small group involved in helping, if you've got to have someone drive you to chemotherapy or take care of your children or walk your dog, you can coordinate things like that through the calendar. We've got a group in Alaska with a team that was set up for a gal who was having double knee surgery, and she needed someone primarily to help take care of her dog because she wouldn't be able to walk her dog.
Huh.
And, you know, so I don't know how much they were using all of our cheer stuff, but they're using the page to coordinate things.
And one other thing to go along with answering that question is sometimes the friend in need might not want a lot of attention, might not want other people to know. But one thing that we try to also encourage is helping family members. So the spouse of the person going through a crisis or the children or the parents, they might need just as much or more support as the person going through the crisis does. And maybe this team of friends isn't created specifically for that person, but for an entire family. And so part of what friends can do to help when there's a crisis is take the spouse out to lunch or help the spouse with some of the normal routine things that they have to continue to do while they're being a caretaker for, you know, their family members.
I'd also like to mention that, and we say this on our homepage and at several pages throughout our website, that when we say friends, we use that term meaning friends and family, because a lot of times people want their family involved, but they don't want their friends involved.
Sure.
So our term friends really means anybody in your support network, and there's different degrees of those friends. There's your super close friends, and then there's the acquaintances. And a thing like our website allows all of those people to be involved at different degrees.
As a pastor for many years, I've seen different families, different friendship groups go through these kind of crises in very different ways. And one of the things that I think often helps is when people are thinking, what can we do, to do something physical, to do something that you can see and feel and touch, whether it's sending a card, whether it's a voice of a phone call, whether it's a visit where you could at least hold their hands and just say, I don't know what to say, or bringing some food, something like that, flowers, anything that, and all of your list, you know, is much more creative than the things I've been mentioning. But something, there's something about presence, about a person being in the next to you, with you. And maybe they don't know what to say, but the fact that they're there makes a difference, or that they've sent something if they're farther away, or that they, whether it's a letter or a call or an email or something, contact.
Well, and we all have different gifts, and we all have different talents, and a lot of people would feel very uncomfortable with sitting with their friend during chemotherapy. But their comfort level is, let me go clean up your yard.
Sure.
Let me mow your grass.
Walk your dog.
Absolutely. One of the things we're encouraging this time of the year here in the Midwest is to show up with your rake and clean up their yard. Because
sure.
It's things like that that can just overwhelm you when you're going through a difficult life event.
Right.
One thing I would like to mention, and we have stressed a little bit already on this this hour, but I'd like to kind of change, is our website, whatfriendsdo.com, is not just for people with cancer.
Sure.
It's not just for people in the hospital. It is for people that are moving, or people that have experienced job loss, or they're experiencing fires. People in Southern California recently that have lost absolutely everything with all the wildfires could use this site to coordinate where are we going to stay. Let's keep all of our friends posted on, this is what we found when we went to the house today. This is what we have left. These are the things that we need. Friends from all over the country can come together on this website to do that.
Now, how long have you had this website, whatfriendsdo.com?
The website went live in the end of June.
Have you had yet someone who you know is trying to help a friend who's gone through a divorce?
Not yet, but I think that's one of the crises in life.
Sure.
That people need help with.
And often it's one of the ones that people are most tongue-tied.
What, right?
what do I say, and who do I say it to?
Right.
We have a section of our site called What Friends Need to Know. And in this, we've got input from ministers and counselors and friends, because we're not professionals, we're not trained counselors, we're just friends. So we've kind of developed this from our own life experiences and talking to lots and lots of other people. But through these resources and the help of other people, we've created a lot of tips for people for what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. And there is a section on there for divorce. We've got it for a medical crisis. We've tried to get information for dealing with children because children are affected by these things no matter what the family situation is, moving or if a grandparent is sick. Whatever's going on, the children are affected in many ways.
Another time people are often very unsure what to say, if anything, is if there's been a miscarriage, if looking forward to a pregnancy, there's been a problem.
We have a section on there for that as
sure.
well.
Very
and
difficult.
We have a, and we also have a section on there for people that are having a new baby, because while it might it's a very joyous time a lot of the times, and a lot of the times it's not. A lot of the times babies come early and there's a lot of transition, and even when babies come on time and they're, you know, everyone is very excited, it's still a change in your life. It's a life change. And
postpartum depression is not unusual.
No, it's not unusual. And, you know, one of the things that my personal experience that we were able to bring from this when we were thinking of our calendar and scheduling help after my son was born, I have such wonderful, wonderful friends, and they all brought meals. Over the course of 2 weeks, I received 5 lasagnas. And after 2 weeks...
Coordination would have been helpful. Yeah.
So we have
I do have them all over the nation. But in this this particular community is where I received the lasagnas, and they were all wonderful.
Yeah.
But by the end of it, we were like, okay, we kind of need something other than lasagna. And we thought about how we can use it on this website so that when friends want to bring meals in every kind of situation, happy or sad, they can say, oh, they've already had lasagna twice this week. Why don't we bring them tacos?
Sure. Sure.
Because our calendar does provide for a place for you to sign up for what you're bringing. So if you're bringing a chicken casserole on Monday night, the person who decides to sign up for Tuesday night can bring something else.
Now, is it possible for someone to set up their website for themselves? I mean,
sure.
I wouldn't mind having people bring me lasagna on Monday and chicken on Tuesday.
Go for it. If you can sell it, that's great.
If your friends are willing to do all of this for you.
Our site allows for each team to have 3 coordinators.
Okay.
And in most instances, the what we'll call the person in need, in most instances, they are one of the coordinators. And that person quite often goes on and blogs to give information on what's going on or their feelings or whatever. And then the other people are more likely to be the ones to ask for the help for them. But sometimes we do have coordinators who are asking for help, which is great to see, because for us as humans, it's hard for us to ask for help for
sure.
ourselves.
We're about halfway through Keeping the Faith this Sunday afternoon. We're talking about what friends do when someone they know is in a crisis, with Amy Kandrak and her mother, Fran Kandrak. Fran's from Indianapolis. Amy's from Champaign-Urbana. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these Keeping the Faith programs. I'm the executive director of the University YMCA, the oldest charity in Champaign County. The Y has been on campus and involving students in the community and beyond in service projects and social action for 134 years here at the University of Illinois. We are the oldest continuous student organization on campus. Our student board comes up with many great program ideas. They've recently added a new program to the Y just 2 weeks ago. So we now are up to 14 different programs that students are providing leadership for, everything from tutoring and alternative spring break programs, which is happening, for example, alternative fall break. Students took off to do service projects and are going to then go home just barely in time for Thanksgiving. That's happening right now as we are broadcasting today, in fact. Engineers Without Borders is another Y program, and Invisible Conflicts has been our most recent Y edition. Some of you may have seen the movie Invisible Children, the documentary that talked about that crisis worldwide. And students here at the University of Illinois have taken upon themselves to educate others, other students, others in the community, and try to do some action around taking some of these invisible conflict problems and making them more visible, and trying to find ways to deal with some of those important issues. If you'd like to learn more about the University YMCA and our programs, everything from Friday Forum lectures to Know Your University lectures to Communiversity, where you can take non-credit classes from ballroom dance to photography to karate for kids to cooking Philippine style, all kinds of things. Look at the Y website, universityymca.org, or give the Y a call, 217-337-1500. You can ask for me, Steve Shoemaker. If I'm not around, almost everybody there on the phone can knows as much as I do and can tell you probably the answer to your question. We got some good news at the Y this last week. We've never had an elevator in our wonderful four-story building right on Wright Street across from Lincoln Hall, which means that students and others who are in wheelchairs or who cannot manage stairs can't get to three of our four floors. So we had great news last week. Some very generous people, Phil and Nina Martin of Evanston, Illinois, and Sullivan, Illinois, have donated an elevator for us. So we're going to be starting that construction project probably sometime in 08. We're delighted to have that that wonderful gift that enables us to make the building accessible. So we do thank the Martins, Philip and Nina, Sullivan and Evanston, Illinois. Phil's a graduate of the University of Illinois and was a Rhodes Scholar from here, went to Harvard Law School and practiced law in the city of Chicago for years. Nina's a professional psychologist and has had a career in counseling. So in terms of what friends do, they help organizations too as well as individuals. But let's get back to our conversation with our guest here in the studio. We're talking with Amy Kandrak, who until very recently was employed at the University of Illinois doing development work. Where was that at the university, Amy?
That was the College of Education.
College of Education. And with her mother, Fran Kandrak, from Indianapolis, who's been an executive assistant in an electrical firm there for electronics firm, I should say, right?
Yes, it's actually Thompson. We make a lot of worldwide equipment for a lot of different.
And you said RCA is one of your brands?
Yes, RCA brand has been a strong part of Thompson for a long time. I'm in the division that makes satellite boxes.
Oh, I see.
And we make those all around the world.
Oh.
So.
But what we're talking about today is what friends do. And let's talk a little bit about why, when you started this organization, you'd had this personal experience with your daughter Stephanie's good friend Laura when she was diagnosed with brain cancer, and how you were able to use the latest electronic devices to communicate with friends about how they could be helpful in that time of crisis. You decided to form this organization, and Stephanie's part of it, and Amy, your two daughters. But, Fran, why did you make this a .com rather than a .org? Why is it a for-profit corporation rather than a not-for-profit?
Well, one of the components to our site is a store. And we actually have a lot more plans for our site that are still in development. But we have a What Friends Give store, which allows people to do really one-stop shopping for coordinating support for your friend. Communication about what's going on, communication back and forth between the person and their friends, and then the take action part. And the take action part is the thing that really makes our website very unique because it allows you right at the moment when you immediately are feeling compelled to do something, you want to do something. And the store allows people to do that, whereas maybe you're on business in Seattle and your friend is in St. Louis having surgery and you want to do something, well, you can send flowers right now. You don't have to wait until you get home and think about it 2 days later. Because of that and the other components we've got under development, the attorneys that we worked with said that we wouldn't make it as a .org. We wouldn't get through the approval process, that we needed to be a corporation. So,
It's actually fairly easy to start a profit-making corporation, and it's fairly difficult to start a nonprofit corporation. Not everybody knows that.
Right, right.
To start a business in this country, and after all, it is a capitalist society, you can do that almost in 24 hours.
It took us a little longer.
But to start a nonprofit, there are a lot of hoops you have to jump through and a lot of approvals you have to get from states, and they vary from state to state. Some states is easier than others. But it's interesting that in these days, once you have either a nonprofit corporation or a for-profit corporation, it's often difficult to tell them apart. So we might get some calls about that, but let me give the phone numbers for people who'd like to join this part of the conversation. 333-9455 in Champaign-Urbana is a local lines for people in this area. But if you're listening on your computer or your iPhone or whatever it is, 1-800-222-9455 will get you a toll-free call right here to our studio. 1-800-222-WILL, if it's a long-distance call, or locally 333-9455. So tell us what else. Your attorneys told you this. How did it feel?
Well, it was
starting a business.
Well, how did it feel starting a business? It's there's a lot of work, and but when you're doing something you're passionate about, and that you're helping other people. It feels good.
Uh-huh.
It's something you enjoy doing.
Now, Stephanie couldn't be with us in the studio tonight. Tell us why.
She is a youth director at a church in Indianapolis, and Sunday evening seems to be a busy time for her. They seem to have youth group most Sunday evenings.
Now, this is a fairly good-sized church. Tell us about it.
It's largest Presbyterian church in Indiana, actually. It's on the north side of Indianapolis, and Stephanie gets several hundred kids through her program each year, so it's quite an active group.
How many members does Second Presbyterian Indianapolis have?
I believe they have about 4,000, but I could be wrong. I should know that better.
How long has Stephanie been the youth director there?
She is in her sixth year.
Wow.
Middle school youth director.
Middle school, and she loves it.
And she gets a lot of credit for that.
How has she avoided burnout working with middle schoolers that long?
She's got a wonderful support network at that church. The whole staff is wonderful. And that reminds me a little bit more about Laura. Laura also worked with middle school kids. And you asked earlier about how Laura reacted to all of this. And you were talking about how she reacted to the cheer stuff, but I wanted to also bring up that Laura knew about this website before she died. We were creating it, and she was just so excited. And I think it's been a neat thing for her family, too, to have this going on, because they felt so good with the support and having all of the people they knew stay connected.
How long did Laura live after she was diagnosed with brain cancer?
11 months.
11 months.
Yeah.
I had a friend, in fact, we named him as the godfather for our son when my wife and I were living in North Carolina. He was a college friend, and he'd gone on and gotten his PhD in the philosophy of science and was working at Bloomington on the faculty at Indiana University when he was diagnosed with brain cancer, and he lived about that long. He had a very supportive network, through his wife, and in fact, he married after he had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. Wonderful, wonderful woman, and she had a support network through her religious community, and it was very supportive to him. We were in North Carolina when we heard about it. He was in Indiana. We only got to visit him once personally during those months, but it was wonderful knowing that he had a group of people nearby who were able to do a lot of things that I couldn't do. I could do a phone call, I could do letters, and that was about it. I was in graduate school myself at the time. He was a couple years ahead of me at Wheaton, but Alan Harder, his name was, and it was such a loss. Brilliant, brilliant young man. He had an impact on a lot of folks in his young, relatively young life, but...
Well, one of the beauties of the internet is that now, even when you're far away like you were, a site like whatfriendsdo.com allows everybody to stay connected on a daily basis with the situation like this, whether they're across town or across the state or across the world, which is really a neat thing. I'd like to add, too, that we have a lot of people utilizing our website, visiting on a daily basis, who are not part of any teams. But they're coming just to kind of get that motivation, because supporting a friend through a difficult thing is nothing new. We're just a one-stop shop to do it on the internet, so that when you have to take meals, you don't have to make 14 phone calls to call back and say, "I know you wanted to do Tuesday, but Susie's already doing that. Can you do Wednesday?" So we've got that going on, but we're on our teams. But we also have a lot of resources for people who aren't on a team.
One of the questions a lot of friends have when someone's going through this kind of a crisis, particularly when it's a very serious illness, yes, they're making decisions about hospice, whether to be involved in that or not. Yes, they're making decisions about who to tell and when. But a lot of questions are theological. Now, both of you come from Christian church backgrounds. How do you deal with the theological questions? Where is God when there's this kind of suffering? Where is God when there's this kind of pain? Where is God? Why does this happen? Why does God allow this kind of injustice to happen?
We really haven't gone there, because we're trying to be able to be available for people of all faiths and of all beliefs. And so that's such a personal thing. I have my own feelings about that, but we all do. And we're really trying not to tell people how to believe or how to interpret things. And as I said before, we're not professionals in any manner, so we're
professional friends. And so what we can do is as give resources for our friends to say, maybe one of the things you sign up for is to take them to church, take them to temple.
Sure.
And we do encourage faith on our site, but part of the, sometimes we'll have tips for people that if you feel comfortable to talk to the person about this. But, you know, not everybody wants to talk to just anyone about a situation like that.
Well, I was thinking of Job's friends. In the story in the Hebrew Bible, in the Jewish scriptures, the story of Job when he was suffering, he had three friends who came to visit him. And they were sort of the worst visitors you could imagine. They blamed him. "This is happening because you didn't live right. You know, if you'd been right with God, this wouldn't have happened to you." You know, so what friends do sometimes can be really bad.
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep that
from
happening?
And what family does can sometimes be even worse. So sometimes you need your friends to bail you out.
So how do you keep friends from doing the bad stuff? You're giving them a lot of good examples, but
one of our sections is called What Friends Need to Know, and it mentions different kind of tips of things you should say and shouldn't say. Now, while we haven't said exactly what you just mentioned on there, maybe we should consider that, but we do mention things like remember the situation they're going through. Remember to be courteous of the fact that they might not be sleeping well. Remember to be courteous of the fact that they probably don't have any more of these answers, and asking these questions might be hard on them.
I think the worst thing that people can do, the absolute worst, is to say, "Well, this is God's will." You know, you've just lost a baby. You've just seen your mother die in a very painful way, and someone comes in and says, "Well, it's God's will." They might be Muslim. They might be Jewish. They might be Christian, most likely they're Christian of a certain sort, but I think that's absolutely the worst.
I
don't think it's true.
I don't think it's true.
Yeah, I agree with you
completely.
I think
God's in favor of life, not death, and not suffering, but relief from suffering and comfort and support.
Well, and the thoughts that would go through my mind if that was said to me would, you know, would not make me happy with God at that point, and or the friend that said that to me at that time.
But at the same time, I think our philosophy is that there are so much negative in the world, and we're doing what we can to keep things positive, and everybody going through their situation will go through it in a different way, but at some point they're going to rejoin the mainstream of life, and we want to do what we can to make sure their friends are still there with them on it. And I think attitudes are contagious, and when you get the people that are going to try to beat you down, we want to try to keep those people that are going to lift you up, because that, to me, is what God wants us to do.
Now, you said that when you were telling the story about Laura, and I might tell listeners who tuned in late that you can hear the first part of this program via computer, because all of these programs are archived at will.uiuc.edu. Click on AM and then Keeping the Faith, and you'll see the previous programs all saved there for you. You can listen to them at your convenience. So if you missed part of this program or would like to hear earlier programs, do go to the will.uiuc.edu website, and you can listen to this program through your computer. But you said early in the program that Laura particularly, since she was diagnosed before the Christmas season, mm-hmm. and then you knew that following the holidays, there's that natural trough that people go through, that time of depression that I sometimes call post-Christmas semper triste. but there is that problem that people have, and there's that time of sadness. And here we are going into the Jewish calendar has just finished their high holidays. The Muslims have just gone through the great spiritual intensity of Ramadan. The nation in the U.S. is going through Thanksgiving, and then the Christians here are going through Christmas. After all those things, there's that letdown. What can friends do?
Friends can make sure to keep their own spirits up by staying connected with their other friends. They can go and build a snowman in somebody's yard when it snows. That doesn't cost any money. It just takes some time, and it's fun. They can stop in to visit and maybe bring a movie that they can watch together. Uh-huh. Our website is full of suggestions. Actually, we have things for every single day. We have suggestions of how to do something, and sometimes we've got three or four things per day. Maybe it's gingerbread day, and so you bake gingerbread cookies on this particular day, or go take their car to the car wash. It's lots of little things. It's mainly the everyday stuff in life that we do, but we don't necessarily think to do it for someone else.
And it's the little things that can kind of keep your spirits up during the holidays and after the holidays. And we have a lot of ideas of things you can do for Thanksgiving this week. If you have a friend going through a crisis in a hospital, you know, get a group of friends together and have everyone write a message on a tablecloth that they can use for their Thanksgiving meal. And, you know, I'm thankful.
Or in a nursing home.
Or in a nursing mm-hmm. home. Mm-hmm. We are thankful for you because, and have, you know, for have friends call you or email you with the fill in the blank of we are thankful for you because.
Now, how honest do people have to be who get these ideas from you? Like my mother may be listening right now. Should I tell her that it was my idea to come up with this tablecloth with all of her friends?
That's between you and God.
But of course it's your idea, because you're the one that has to take the action on it. All we can do right now is give you the ideas and give you some of the resources, but you will have to you'll have to take the action and actually do it.
I'll tell you a need I see in this community, and that is for some kind of a taxi that can hold someone in a wheelchair. I've wanted to take my mother around to see the trees this fall. She's confined to a wheelchair. She literally can't get out of it because of bad knees. And it takes a lot of work just to get her into bed and that sort of thing. It would be wonderful if there was some vehicle that I could rent for the day that I could wheel a wheelchair into. She wouldn't have to get out of it. up a little ramp into a vehicle. We can drive around and see trees or see places she used to live. But a person in a wheelchair...
That's a really difficult thing.
If they can't get in and out of cars or other vehicles, it's really tough. Now, MTD has that, and you can fill out the forms and get MTD to take you from one place to another. But if I'd like to take somebody on a little trip or drive around and see the leaves, I haven't been able to find it. So if any listeners...
Well, you make it a listener about that now.
If any listeners here know of a way that could happen. I've got a ramp. I could put a ramp to get her into a vehicle, but I don't know where I can rent a vehicle. I've tried taxi companies. I've tried all that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, call us 333-9455, or if you have a question for our guests, Fran and Amy Kandrak, KANDRAC, who have the website, whatfriendsdo.com, with all kinds of suggestions for what to do when a person's in crisis. If you're listening on the Internet, you can call us here in the studio with a comment or question, 1-800-222-9455.
Now, to kind of go on about your idea for the taxi to drive people around for that, if there is someone out there, all three of us in the studio would love to hear about this, because one of the reasons that we are a for-profit or a .com instead of a .org is so that merchants like whoever this wonderful person out there that
a limo service or something, sure.
A limo service or something can we'd like to make those resources available on our website, and we'd like to use that we want to make this available for friends and family members, the one-stop shop. You can go and you can take a tour of Christmas Lights Day. And if your friend is unable to, you know, get out on their own, we could use whatever the name of the limo service is.
And so merchants who have services to be helpful to family and friends, so when there is a crisis, can advertise on your website.
Can advertise on our website.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and we think that merchants are a very valuable part of our community and a part of what friends do. If you want to take a meal to your friend in need, I at least have to go to the grocery, especially this time of year. There's not everything in my garden anymore. And so grocers are very important part of that. Movie rental places, sending flowers, so florists.
Takeout
food, exactly. Sure. All important things.
We're down to our last 5 or 6 minutes here on Keeping the Faith. We're talking about what friends can do in times of a crisis. I mentioned earlier, since the person who got this Kandrak family involved in this project was dying of a brain tumor, here's a short poem that I wrote when my son's godfather was diagnosed with that. If all our time is present time to God, our moans and screams of rage are heard not in the quiet of primordial time, but heard right now, just as we feel the blaze of pain ourselves. So in cacophony of grunts, of cries and whispers, gasps, expiring sighs, our tiniest cry cuts through and joins the dance of horror in the mind of God. The days we suffer isolated from the world, the hours of rejection, perfidy, and lies, the minutes, seconds that we bleed from the real steel of surgeon, soldier, are shared. We cry we are forsaken. Our cry is heard. Our tears run rivers down the face of God. So that was my kind of a response to the question that I was feeling at that time, which was when I heard about my young friend's death sentence from this horrible brain tumor. That it makes sense for me from a Christian perspective, and I guess it's the same for Jews and Muslims as well, that God is with us in those times of pain. The Christian symbol for that, of course, is Jesus in his suffering, his passion. But in other religious traditions, there are different images that show what theologians often call the immanence of God, that God is present when there is pain, when there's suffering, when there's loneliness, when there's tears. I guess one thing that I think friends can do is represent that to people.
Exactly.
Through things they do or be or say.
And your pain that you described is so real for anybody going through a difficult time. And one of the things that we have said many times with what we are doing is that we can't change the outcome of a situation, but we can change the journey. And that's part of why God has all of these friends on this earth, because we do have to help change the journey.
Tell us about Laura. During her 11 months, what were some of the high points for her? What are the things she seemed most grateful for?
She was very grateful for a priest who visited her regularly from her high school, and for her friends, and for her being able to give back to people during that time. We celebrated Random Acts of Kindness Day with all of Laura's team helping her give gifts to thank her oncology nurses. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience for Laura. So she wasn't always the recipient of all of these What Friends Do activities. She got to be part of the surprises sometimes. She got to help with the planning. And I think what that allowed her to do was to still live life like she did before she was sick. And that was definitely very important to her.
What Friends Do has just been around for 6 months. WhatFriendsDo.com, if you like to have more information about it. If you don't have access to the Internet, there is a post office box you could write to. Post Office Box 80121 in Indianapolis, Indiana, 46280. What Friends Do, Post Office Box 80121, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46280. We've been talking on Keeping the Faith today with Fran and Amy Kandrak, and this is an organization they've just begun 6 months or so ago. It came out of one of their experiences helping a group of people form a care team for a dying friend. Stephanie is a part of it, too. She couldn't be on our program today because she's a youth worker at Second Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, but maybe she'll hear this later. If you have questions, do give the website a look and check under support for how to contact these folks. Next week on Keeping the Faith, we'll be talking with Mary Ellen Gilpin, representing the Quaker Church. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the director of University YMCA. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Renowned cellist Yo-Yo Ma believes music is a special way of crossing national and ethnic borders. That's why he started the Silk Road Project a decade ago. He wanted to bring together musicians from diverse backgrounds. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, we'll talk with Yo-Yo Ma as part of our program, The New Silk Road, from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 here on WILL Urbana. Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, mostly cloudy with scattered sprinkles this evening. The low in the upper 30s with southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly sunny and not as cool with a high around 60 degrees and south winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy and warmer with a low in the lower 50s and southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from World Gourmet Foods, 120 Krispy Kreme Drive in Bloomington, featuring over 400 kinds of chocolates and more. daily tasting, and an extensive Saturday tasting party with over 50 items. Information at 309-663-2222 or at worldgourmetfoods.com, bringing the taste of the world to Bloomington Normal.
It's 6 p.m. This American Life is next.